Shaukarabasikia. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd give us ears to hear what you're saying to the churches. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Spirit of Truth. We ask that you'd enlighten the eyes of our understanding and the knowledge of God. Lord, we ask that you'd open our ears and our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. Fill my mouth, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You turn with me to Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Hallelujah. I'm reading from the New King James. It says here in verse 45 of Luke 24, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." This is Jesus after he rose from the dead and appeared to the disciples. And they're like, "What?" And he opens their understanding. You know, only the power of God, only the power of the Holy Ghost can open your understanding to understand what he's wanting to say. You know, that's the cry of my heart continually. Holy Spirit, open my understanding. That's what the Holy Spirit has been given to do, that he might lead us into all truth. Teach us the word. Teach us about Jesus. Teach us about God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God himself, the Holy Ghost, comes to open our understanding. Yeah. For those who have an ear to hear, let him hear. You know, God wants to give you an ear, but you've also got to let those ears hear by inclining your ear to him and listening to what he has to say, waiting on God, going and getting your daily bread. Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. That means you have to go get it. You have to wait and receive it. He's got it there for you. But sometimes we just don't go and get it. We don't get that wonderful revelation where he opens our understanding and brings peace to our soul because we're too busy with other stuff and the red flag distractions. Oh, God, sort this problem out. And he wants to bring revelation to you. He wants to bring the word of life. He wants to bring the light so you begin to see the truth. Hallelujah. Give us this day our daily bread. Open my understanding, Lord. I am rapidly discovering that God is smarter than I am. He knows everything. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. And I've decided that I want his ways because they're always better. He's got my best interests at heart. He knows exactly how to win the lost. He knows exactly how to heal the sick. He knows exactly what he wants to do. And so I need to bow my knee every day and humble myself and say, Lord, give me today the daily bread. What's the orders for today? What are you doing today? What are we going to do today, Lord? Feed me from your word. Open my understanding. Ask and you'll receive. Amen. It's wonderful. It's like Daniel, when he was getting the revelations. It says often, as he's describing the revelations that he's getting, I looked, and I looked again, and I looked some more. You know, and the more you look, the more you'll receive. The more you'll seek, the more you'll find. The more you'll ask for and expect to receive from God, the more you'll get. God wants to give you direction. I love hearing, I was talking with James and Bev this week, and just how wonderfully the Holy Spirit is leading them, because they're taking time to ask about things that many would just take for granted and not consider asking the Lord. You know, and amazing results are happening. God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life, and he also wants to open our understanding of the scripture so that we really begin to understand what he's saying. And it's exciting and it's also scary but wonderful as the Holy Ghost is beginning to reveal more and more of his truth. Amen? By scary, I mean scary in convicting me how presumptuous I've been in so many areas, but wonderful because it sets me free and I feel so much safer walking in the light. Amen? Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. It's not an automatic thing. You know, you need to pray and ask for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You need to wait on God to receive. Allow him to speak to you. Allow him to teach you. Allow him to open your understanding. Feed on the word. And my husband reads to me every night. Doesn't matter what time we go to bed. He's there and he reads the Bible to me. And I have to listen to whatever he decides he's going to read. And I'm very happy with that because it's a wonderful thing to finish the night as I go to sleep, meditating on the Word of God. You know, we do that because that is the anchor of our lives, is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And, you know, you can read the Word of God, but if you'll begin to ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him who is the Word, oh, it gets so good. It just gets better and better. Oh, are they excited about this, God? Because I'm very excited about this. Thank you, Colin. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Wow. It's worth asking. I tell you. You start to get revelation of who he is and then who you are in relation to him, the head, and that all things are under our feet as we are in a submission to him. You begin to walk and understand the greatness of the power toward us. You believe, oh, it's very exciting, very good stuff. Hallelujah. He wants us to have revelation of who he is and who we are in relation to him. Now, I was praying this morning, and you're most welcome to join us on Friday mornings for prayer if you'd like to. Just see Pastor David there. But as we were praying this morning, I saw a vision of the church as a person pulling back the bed sheets and finally getting up. I was so excited because, you know, it's time for the church to arise and shine, to begin to take their rightful place as the body, the glorious church with all things under our feet, beginning to stand up and stop whinging and being a victim and, oh, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overcome. It's because they're focusing on the red flags. But as they begin to focus on the head, you begin to ask and you begin to receive. Open the eyes of my understanding, Lord. You begin to stand up. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
All right, back to Luke. Verse 46, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. It's like, I got everything you need. Just wait. Wait on me. Let me fill you with power. Then you go and preach the gospel. And you know what the message of the gospel is that Jesus said here? That repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations. He didn't just say remission of sins, he said repentance and remission of sins, because there is no remission of sins without repentance. Well, ooh, that's a heavy statement. That's the truth. That's the Bible. And you know, we have a responsibility as the church not to cause people to walk in deception and think they can live however they like and get into heaven. It's not going to happen that way. Have a look with me, if you would, at 1 John chapter 1. You know, we hear people quote all the time, 1 John 1:9. You'll be right, 1 John 1:9. If you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wonderful truth. But you know, you've got to take the scripture in context. Jesus. Just have a little look with me in your Bibles, if you will, back to verse 5. It says here that this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. We say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, it's certainly not by works that we're saved. It's by faith, grace through faith. As we repent, he gives us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. But you can't keep your sin, say you're sorry, continue to live a lifestyle of sin and think that, well, I'm fine. But you'd think this is a simple message, but you know, there are a lot of Christians who believe, I'm fine, I said the prayer, you know, I say sorry, and they generally believe they shouldn't do what they do, but they decide they'll do it anyway. But the Bible's very clear. Yeah. He says, if you say you walk in the light, but you still are having things to do with the darkness, what fellowship does light have with darkness? Jesus came so we could have fellowship with him, and a holy God cannot have fellowship with sin. So he had to send his own Son, the pure and spotless Lamb, to shed his blood that our sins could be blotted out if we would turn from them and be given a new life, be born again, where we would leave our old life behind and receive his forgiveness and walk in his light. Jesus said to the woman caught in adultery, he certainly didn't condemn her, but he did say, go and sin no more. Often when people were healed, he'd say, he'd tell them not to sin anymore, lest a worse thing would come upon them. And you know, it's not by works that we can even walk a holy life. There's been plenty of monks who've tried that and failed miserably, Martin Luther being one of them. He'd whip himself and try and pay for his sin or get holy by rolling out in the snow and till his brother monks would have to drag him back inside half dead, thinking that I've got to try and subdue the flesh, until he got the revelation, justification by faith. But you need to be able to put your faith in the one who is able to keep you from falling. You've got to be able to come to him and say, Lord God, I've done this. I ask for your forgiveness. Now I put my faith in you who is able to keep me from falling, to help me now to repent. Repent means to turn from and put it aside. Am I preaching the truth here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. It means repentance and remission of sin. That's what our Lord Jesus said to preach. That's what he said to bring, the message to bring. It's a message of great grace and great hope. But you know, a lot of people don't like the idea of preaching repentance to people because they think that is certainly not going to go down well. And you know, I used to be one of those who'd get up and as a young teenager and tell people they're going to hell for what they do and da 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 da, and they just sort of look at me strangely and yeah, whatever. And didn't seem very effective. But you know, you can preach repentance by your lifestyle. You can preach repentance. I have been going to several functions recently. They've got all these functions at the end of the year for the consular corps, and Tom's a consul, and lots of business functions and things. And I've been really blessed to hear some of the guys that come around and that Tom would meet with once a month, some of his business associates. And they'd come and they'd sort of make stirring questions, like, what would you do if your, you know, if your 16-year-old came to you and said, I want to have sex with a boy? What would you do? And they were having a go at me because they knew I was a pastor. And Tom just immediately stepped in and he said, well, she wouldn't do that because we've taught her the way of morality and we've taught her to keep herself pure for marriage.
Hallelujah.
It's like,
Jesus.
And he says, and then I hear them talking, yeah, Tom's been telling us about how you're a pastor and ministry. And I see them have a respect for Tom because he's not compromised.
Hallelujah.
His stance. He's not been a Bible bashing, self righteous person, but just confident in the fact that this is what I have chosen to do. I've chosen to walk in the light. I've chosen to follow God, and it'll affect people. People are starting to ask him now, you know, what is it? What's it all about? And you know, I don't advocate that we all just be silent witnesses. I believe it's time for the church to begin to get bold in the Holy Ghost. But you know, it's boldness in the Holy Ghost, not boldness in the flesh and self-righteousness, where you start to go and harass people and say, you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't do this, trying to clean them up before they get the revelation. But you know, they'll look to the revelation if you'll look different. It's been too long that the church has tried to fit in with society. We need to live lives that are walking in repentance. Brian said something this morning about the Muslims being told that they're a counterculture, and you know that they were supposed to be different. But you know, we are meant to be as aliens in this world. The Bible says we are meant to be different. We're not meant to be like everybody else. We're not meant to live as everybody else lives. We're meant to walk in the fruit of repentance. Amen?
Amen.
So preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations, Jesus said. He said to do it after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know, Ephesians talks about being filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. That the Spirit of God would fill you up till you overflow. Overflow happens as you continually pour into something. If you've got a cup, it won't overflow unless you are continually pouring in, right?
Yeah.
But if you'll bring your cup every day to God and say, Lord, fill me up. If every day as you walk, you might not have 3 hours to spend alone. If you're a mother with young children, it's very difficult to get a 3-hour block.
Amen.
But you can be continually drinking the Holy Ghost, continually looking up to the one that's the source, so that you begin to overflow, so that you, when people talk to you, they begin to receive what is coming into your heart. If you've been looking at your problems, When you start to talk to somebody that's been focusing on their problems, the first thing you'll hear as you start to have conversation with them is their problem. Because you reflect what you're looking at. If you're continually looking up, if you're refusing to be distracted by this or by that, if you're refusing to get down or be dictated to by your emotions, but instead look to Him, you'll shine. Those who look to Him are radiant, the Scripture says. But if you talk to somebody that's been thinking and talking about this hassle and that hassle, you look at them and bleh, they just spew out the problem. It's time for the church to arise and allow Him to lift their heads, to look at Him, so that He can show you His light, His glorious light that will cause you, His love that will cause you to desire nothing but holiness and Him.
Yeah, amen.
Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because when you find Him, you find His righteousness. And in His light, you find freedom. When you turn the light on, darkness disappears. Amen? People struggle with the difference between a works mentality and a grace mentality, and with law and grace. And you know, I think we need to have our understanding enlightened in the knowledge of Him, to the fact that it's no longer we that live, but Christ who lives in us. Christ is pure and holy, and in Him there is no darkness at all. So if you're struggling with darkness, if you're struggling with condemnation and feeling like you're never good enough to get into His presence, and then you're listening to a lie, because He's standing there right ready to speak to you, ready to reveal to you and open your understanding of the Scripture, that He came to set you free, that the blood of Christ will cover all sin. And if you'll bring it to Him, He's there to help you exchange it and set you free. People can set free from drugs, can be set free from any addiction, can be set free from any sin. I've heard people say, I'm just addicted to lust. I'm addicted to sex. Well, you know, you need to come into the presence of God, because in His presence, the Spirit of God, the Bible says that where the Spirit is, there is liberty. We need to have faith, just as Nevin said, believing that He is able. We need to commit ourselves now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling. Amen?
Amen.
We need to also be asking the Holy Spirit to help us to see if there are areas in our lives where we have been walking in deception. You know, because you can deceive yourself with good intentions. You can deceive yourself by just telling yourself, oh, this is fine. But God does not wink at sin. He loves you. He'll pour out His blessing. He says He makes His face to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. His blessing does not indicate His approval. But if you'll humble yourself and say, Lord, here I am. Let me wait on You. I find that when I come into the presence of God, He comes and He, with His gentle voice, He'll put His finger on something in my life that needs to be repented of. And right there, the grace is there for me to receive forgiveness and freedom from that sin. It's a wonderful thing when you get revelation about the fact I shouldn't be doing that. But sometimes you can build up strongholds in your mind so much that you convince yourself you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. Your conscience can be hardened, and you need the oil of the Holy Ghost to soften you. You need revelation of the Scripture to cut you to the heart, so that when you read about fornication and uncleanness and idolatry and lewdness and, of course, joking and all these things that the Scripture talks about in the New Testament,
yeah,
that those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Jesus.
The truth sets you free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you'll open your ears and you'll begin to ask the Lord to give you understanding of the Scripture. Amen. It's time for us to become radical. I don't believe there's such a thing as an ordinary, normal, middle of the road Christian in the definition of much of the church today. I believe it's going to be a very uncomfortable place in the coming days, because you're going to be forced to choose. Choose this day who you will serve. I'm hearing the challenge of God. Those who are for me, God is calling them into the brightness of His light that's holy and pure. He's calling them close to the fire. God who is a consuming fire. He's calling them close. And as you come close, you're not going to be able to live as you've lived before. But you need to get a love and a desire to walk in repentance. Repentance is not a scary, condemning thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's so freeing when God convicts you. That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Condemnation just comes like a heavy sack and bleh, you're this and you're that, and it defines you by your sin. But conviction comes with the word and it speaks to you. And you go, yes, oh, I see the light. I see what I need to do. And you can receive at the same time grace and freedom to walk in forgiveness and walk in holiness. Amen? Without holiness, none shall see God. But without the Holy Spirit, none shall walk in holiness. That's true. We need God. I cannot go one day without the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't live without the strength of God. It's been so beautiful to see how the Holy Spirit has set things up tonight to speak a message to us. Wait on the Lord. Renew your strength. Allow Him to cause you to mount up on wings as eagles so that you soar in the heavens close to His heart. Don't allow distractions and things to take your focus, but fix your eyes on things above, on Him that's pure and lovely. He is of a good report. He's wonderful. And as you fix your eyes on Him, everything else that you've been struggling with, everything that's condemnation or a lie, will be shown for what it is. Because in His light, we see light. We need to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to open our understanding. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. Holy Ghost, I thank You, Lord, that You speak to our hearts, Lord. I thank You that You set us free, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to live, oh God, our lives for ourselves. We want to live, Father, as ones who are bought with a price. Father, we desire truth in the innermost being. Lord, I ask, Holy Ghost, that You'd right now speak to our hearts. Now, if there's anybody here tonight that says, I want to give my life to Christ, I need to repent, I need to give my life to Christ, I want to come into His kingdom, I want to leave my sin behind and I want to come into the kingdom of God, I want to be born again. If that's you tonight, I want you just to raise your hand and I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here that says, I want to be born again, I want to give my life to Christ? I don't like to let an opportunity go past. Hallelujah. Thank You, Spirit of God. Holy Spirit, we ask that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, I thank You that it is a new day. That it's a time, Lord God, Father, for us to walk in freedom and walk in holiness. God, because of what You did, we can walk in holiness. Father, I thank You, Lord, that You free us from our own self-righteousness, oh God. Father, I thank You that You free us, Lord God, from arrogance and pride. I thank You that we are crucified with Christ and it's no longer we that live, but Christ who lives in us. And I thank You, Lord, that Your mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. God, help us to ask. Help us to receive. Help us to feed on Your word and allow Your word to cut us to the heart. Help us, God. We desire to follow You wholeheartedly. Help us, Holy Ghost, I pray. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.